Flying the very early airplanes was a breezy affair. The Wright brothers' aeroplanes offered no protection from the wind. Their flying machines were wide open, and they sat on the edge of the lower wing facing the wind. There are many photographs of Wilbur in his jacket, preparing for a flight, or talking about one after landing, using his hands to describe the action, setting the scene for how an aviator looked. Less than 10 years later, World War I saw the first aerial combat. The aircraft were biplanes and had open cockpits. Leather flight jackets and silk scarves were crucial protection from the cold and wind. The scarves added to the look, but had another practical purpose. The flyer had to keep turning his head, be on the lookout not only for the enemy, but to be sure not to get too close to his own squadron mates. The warm, silky scarf kept the flyers from rubbing their necks raw after hours of flying and constantly looking around. Once back on solid ground, the uniform became instantly recognizable as the look of the aviator, a knight of the air, and the stuff of legend. Collier's magazine had on its cover in 1917 an illustration by J.C. Leyendecker, which solidified the aviator image, his jacket partially buttoned up, his flying helmet and goggles in place, and a look of extreme confidence. Amelia Earhart and other women aviators knew about those images and made sure they were often seen in an appropriate flight jacket and at times a flight helmet. Earhart even had made a matching jacket and helmet from white leather. The brown leather flight jacket from World War II is beyond cool. In the United Kingdom, the fighter pilots of the Battle of Britain wore their sheepskin-lined jackets, unzipped with their uniform collar unbuttoned, defying all regulations. After all, they had fought the German Air Force in the skies above their homes, defended the realm, and the rules just didn't apply to them. The Army Air Forces and the U.S. Navy each had its own style. The Navy jacket sporting a mouton collar, which is soft and replaced the silk scarf from World War I. The Army Air Force's jacket was tight-fitting, as small cockpits didn't have much extra room for a bulky jacket. Hundreds of thousands of those jackets were brought home after the war and became part of the society. Many replica bomber jackets have open side pockets. Joe Drack, an Air Force aviator who flew in many of America's wars, explained why real flight jackets do not have those pockets. The last thing you wanted, he said, was when you were flying upside down in combat to suddenly have everything in those pockets floating in front of your face. The image of the aviator was picked up by the movies. Rock Hudson in the film Battle Hymn portrayed Dayton area local fighter pilot and ace Colonel Dean Hess and wore the fabric flight jacket of the 1950s. On television, in Happy Days, the Fonz defined cool with his surplus jacket. In the film Top Gun, Tom Cruise wears his all the time, even when it is obviously swelteringly hot. Now, when American presidents fly on Air Force One, they have their own personal leather flight jackets that they wear even when they are not on board the presidential airplane. While the original need was for warmth, flight jackets became a look that was admired and represented respect for accomplishments and ability. That has not changed, because after all, a license to fly is a certificate that must be earned. For WYSO, this is Dan Patterson wishing you blue skies and tailwinds.